Good morning. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. It is a Wednesday morning, final Wednesday of the month, which usually means we have all education planned for this hour. We do have education for at least half the hour featured as our focus. We'll be talking with superintendents here from Riley County and Blue Valley Schools in just a moment. Later on in the program, we'll be talking with Jack Alston today. From Pottawatomie County Economic Development Corporation. He's on instead of Geary County Schools. Dr. Eggleston couldn't be with us. He's out of the district this week. So we had Jack fill in at the last moment. So we appreciate that. Joining us here from USD 378 Riley County Schools today, Superintendent Cliff Williams joins us on Zoom. Good morning.
Good morning, Brandon.
And from USD 384, Blue Valley Schools up in Randolph, we have John Cox. Good morning.
Good morning, Brandon.
Pleasure to have you gentlemen both on here. I think this might be the first time we've had you live here for a couple months. We've had some recorded segments because of the holidays and stuff, but good to talk to you guys live on KMAN today.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Yeah, it's good to be back live.
Well, let's talk about what's going on. This month of January, I don't know about you guys, but it seems like it's felt like the longest month of the year so far. Can't wait for February because that's a short month. But I know illness has been a factor in a lot of districts, and you guys are not much different. I'll start with Cliff. How's the situation there?
You're exactly right, Brandon. It has been a long month, a lot of challenges trying to make sure we keep our doors open between the seasonal sickness and COVID-19 virus. Knock on wood, really want to commend all of our parents and our students and our staff for their efforts through this. We were very fortunate that we did not have to shut down. I think in our peak, one of our buildings was at 9% positive for the virus with our students. Our staff got a little bit higher than that, but we were able to continue to function, you know, in a productive manner. And, you know, we've said all along that it's probably going to be staff illness that would cause us to shut down our schools faster than student sickness. But we were very fortunate, and now we have just really dropped off, and most of our kids are coming back. I know there'll be a lot of time that needs to be spent getting caught back up, and it's a good thing we've got a lot of 5-day weeks ahead of us.
All right. Well, glad that things are improving there. How about over in Blue Valley, John?
We've had much the same as what Cliff has in Riley County. Last week, we had our highest rate, about 13.7%. And it was all based off of just a couple of cases that just went wildfire through it. And with all of that being said, we are now down to just about 10%, which is good. Simply because we're able to continue to test. Prior to the surge last week, we were on a test-to-stay basis on the testing. And now, because of all of the logistics of supplies and the amount of tests that we're running, we are on the test-to-know. So that really kind of looks at things a little bit differently. If you're symptomatic, we'll test you to see if you are or you're not. If you're positive, you go home. If you're not positive, you go back to class. At our peak last week, we were testing about 40 people a day, and that's considerable considering our student population is 256 students. The current guidance, and this is just a little bit of education, we've sent out information via our messaging services, but this is another good way to do it. The current guidance is 5-day quarantines for positive cases, and then after those 5 days, you can come back, and on the 6th day, you can test. If you're negative, you continue your go home and continue your quarantine. If you're negative, you get to come back to school with a mask on. So it's really keeping our kids in school where they need to be. And the scientists have learned so much about it. We really believe that they're leading us in the right direction. The challenge here is then the close contacts, and we're no longer contact tracing. And that was a big deal a couple of weeks ago. But right now we're slow on that because most of our families, you know, if they've been around somebody, they have let them know. And so it's good common sense just to be aware of where you're at. The biggest change is household contacts. Household contacts are different than close contacts because you're living with the positive case. And unless you can isolate, you're really going to have to quarantine for 10 days. and then you get to come back on the 11th day with a negative test. And that's really looking at the incubation period and all of the science that I really don't understand. So I'm not going to get into that. But we are managing, and we're hopeful that we are on that downhill slide, that 2-week peak and dropping off, especially with the college kids coming back in Manhattan and such.
All right. Well, that's interesting. And having those guidelines, I'm sure, will help. Will the test to stay program, is that going to stay here? Because I know that some schools have kind of trailed off on that a little bit. Will that continue after February 1st?
We are going to continue that simply because we just want to make sure that our kids are safe. And it's hard to tell whether an asymptomatic person has it or not. There's no way to tell. And so if you're symptomatic, we're going to just test you just to be safe. And if you are positive, send you home where everybody can be safe. We were on the test to stay program, and that was if you came back to school after your quarantine, you would test every day. And those guidelines changed a bit, but with the new guidance, it simplifies things for everybody. And it has been a lifesaver for our nurse. She works so many hours, and I want to give a shout out to Nurse Emily. She's done fantastic work. She's working overtime. She's working Saturday. She's working Sunday. She's coming in on the weekends to test kids and families to make sure she's really gone above and beyond and deserves any praise that we can give her. I just want to say that she's doing fabulous and thank her for all of the hard work that she has done.
All right. Good. Yeah. Kudos to her. And I'm sure the more of the same there at Riley County Schools as well.
Oh, definitely, Brandon. We plan on testing as well through February, and it's really been a good process. You know, it takes the guesswork out of it, as John has said, and, you know, lets the science work for us, and we've saved so many days for students. And I'm sure I speak for John, I would strongly encourage parents and students to reach out to their teachers sooner than later. I know when these kids are sick, we hear symptoms like, you know, horrible headache, and you can't learn during that time, but you know, we do need to make the work up and get caught up, and the 9 weeks is going fast and we don't want the kids to get behind, so please reach out to them and help them get caught up.
All right, with the shift in the requirements for the substitute teachers, has that impacted you guys at all? Have you seen a dip in your sub pool because of COVID here this month?
Ours has kind of been hit and miss. I think we got about 33 subs, and I think we average about 8 to 10 a week. We've been very fortunate that our teaching staff has been willing to give up their planning period and help cover classes. We've had bus drivers that have driven a double route, you know, people working overtime, like John mentioned. We've had a lot of those things that have helped us work through this process. But our subs have really been pretty sturdy and reliable, so we're very thankful for what they've done through this process.
And for us, I would love to have 33 substitute teachers. I currently have a handful, and we are tapped out almost every day, facing some of the same challenges of staff covering classes on their planned periods and everybody pitching in to do the best work that we can possibly do. And making sure our kids have what they need. And so if anybody's listening and would like to apply for a substitute teaching license, please give us a call. We're willing to talk about it and work you through that process.
Okay, very good. Appreciate that. And, yeah, absolutely. That's a big need in a lot of districts right now. So, and we want to make sure we think about our rural districts as much as we think about the bigger ones here, because often it's a little more challenging sometimes. We're talking with our superintendents from Riley County and Blue Valley Schools, Cliff Williams and John Cox. Let's take our first break on the program. We'll come back and talk about some more non-COVID related issues here in just a moment on News Radio KMAN.